you're ready, say hallelujah like you mean it. Okay. Amen. I'm ready. Hallelujah. Let's go. Let's get in. Get into God's word, see what he has for us this morning. So we are going to talk about the OMGs, the Oh My God moments, also known as Oasis Ministry Groups. Okay, that concept still going forward where we're been able to reach our community. It's kind of about some mindset, some things that are changing and the way that we're going about reaching our community, things that are maybe a little bit different than what we've done before, but I know that it's right on track with what God is doing. And I hear a lot, we're going to go through, I won't jump ahead of myself here, but I spend a lot of time in prayer, and a lot of it sometimes in the middle of the night, sometimes real early in the morning, I just wake up and I can't go back to sleep because things start rolling. So I'm just like, I'm just getting up, spend some time with God. And I go out and I have these goofy little habit things that I do, but sometimes when it's real early and I'm alone in the middle of the night, I still like to block everything out. And so I take a blanket, our house sometimes cold in the mornings, and so you take a blanket and I put it over my head and I get in tune with God. And I just sit there and I pray and I listen. And I listen and I listen and have conversation and start talking, sharing back and forth. And next thing I know, I'm right in the middle of something that, I'm like, I got to write this down. And so then you start writing stuff down and taking notebooks, or I use my phone a lot, or if I have a computer there, it's a lot faster for me to type on a computer. So I just grab that and I'm like, chop, 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 and get it all put down so that I get some ideas. And, that happened again even this morning as I'm preparing for this morning. And already kind of had it put together, and I just got up early and I went out, and that was the first thing God said. He started speaking things about where we're headed and the direction we're going. I'm like, I gotta write this down. Okay, so some of it is in motion, and that's what I sense right now, is that God has got some things in motion. Okay, some people call it momentum. Okay, in the body of Christ, you do any of the leadership podcasts and all that stuff, they always talk about momentum. Well, I feel momentum. I'm sensing it. Okay, I can't tell you what stage we're at or get into too much detail right now, but we're getting into more and more of this momentum that God has. So let's talk about these ministry groups one more time. And really is, like I said, focus more on the using your talent part and just being willing to be used by God. Okay, but we'll start with some prayer. So Father, we are yielded vessels to you. Father, I pray every person that is in this room, every person that hears this message will just tune in to you, Lord, and listen for what it is that you're speaking to them about their life and the ministry that you've called them to, Lord. Let each see themselves as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, something that is so valuable, so critical in this kingdom that we live in. Father, we are here in this world. We are not of the world, but we are of your kingdom. And Father, I pray that we grab hold of that, what our role is in your kingdom, and how you're using our life and the things you put into our life and our circumstances and all these events and things that are going on, that you're using it all for your glory, if we will just yield to you and allow you to do it. So Father, I pray that this morning, help our hearts and minds be open to receive what you have for us. We pray it in Jesus' name and say, so be it. Amen. Amen. So over the last few weeks on Sundays and on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about things that will get you outside of the box. Okay, we even sang, there was a song, that simple gospel song. I love that song. It's got some powerful messages in it, but one of the lines has something to do with letting you out of the box. No more box, God. Well, over the last few weeks, you've heard messages. We've had some discussions on Wednesday nights about being willing. Okay, that's what kind of set it off. If I look back at some of my March titles, I think it was things like be willing. We want to be willing to be used by God. That's a first part. If we're going to be motivated or be used by God, we need to be motivated. We need to be willing. Okay, we talked about reaching out to our community, finding ways to be able to minister and look beyond ourselves. Okay, we've talked about the Oasis ministry groups, just opportunities where people have ideas and be able to gather together and say, here's how this could work, and let's reach our community through this. The whole Tommy Barnett concept of find a need and fill it, find a wound and heal it. Let's go to it. Let's get after our community and see what we can do to reach them. We even had a Bible study, not this last Wednesday, but the one before that, we did a Bible study on breaking religion, okay? And then we did some deliverance, and we cast out that spirit that holds people back and the people around them. Because we don't want that right now. We want to get out of ourselves, to break free, to get free from that religious stuff so that we can get out and do the true ministry of the gospel. You know, all of this training, you could call it, is to help equip you as the body of Christ for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Okay, that's what, as a pastor, that's my role, right? If you read about what the pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, all these guys are for, okay, it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Okay, it's about getting us to a point where we're ready to be used by God, okay, and then going out and actually doing it. Jesus said very plainly, Mark chapter 16, in verses 15 and 16, he said this. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned." Okay, that's point blank. That is our mission in life. That's our goal. That's our calling. Okay, but to go into the world, okay, that first part, go into all the world. Okay, that implies that we're going to take our relationship from just a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to have that, right? We give our life to Jesus, we get saved. Remember, relationship, not religion. You know, we've heard that. Okay, so we take our relationship from just a personal relationship with Jesus to a relational one where we love and care for the same people that God loves and cares for. Okay, that's taking it beyond just ourselves to that I got so much of this love that Jesus loves me, and now I get to pour that into the lives of the people around me. You know, it's a mindset that requires a desire to look beyond yourself. Okay, you know, if your world is no bigger than your arms can reach, you know, I call it your arm's length world, right? If your world is no bigger than your arms can reach, okay, if you can't really see anything but what is right around you, okay, you might find yourself being frustrated as a Christian because God has made you for more than that. Okay, yes, he saved you. That's the beginning point. But God made you for more than that, to be able to go beyond and to see across the aisle, so to speak, to see across the room, to see across the city and see things and feel things and compassion. Remember, if Jesus was just focused on himself, he never would have fed the thousands of people that were fainting because they hadn't eaten, right? He was able to see that beyond himself. It wasn't just, you know, hey, Peter, go get us something to eat, man. I'm hungry. You know, it was feed the masses, guys. These guys are hungry out here. And he was seeing beyond himself. And that is part of that relational part of our walk with God. That's that mindset that we have to grab onto that says life is bigger than just me. Okay, it's more than me and my four and no more, right? It's bigger than that. There's a whole world that God wants to use us for. You know, you might have to go from seeing yourself as broken, okay, seeing yourself as damaged, you know, or maybe unusable by God, or maybe you see yourself as someone who cannot accomplish God's best plans for this community. That's for somebody else. I'm just not the right one. That's just not me. Okay, but you have to realize that just the opposite of that is true. Okay, God doesn't call people into a body of Christ for no reason. We are all part of a body. Okay, and that body functions in a particular way if we all do our part, if we all get involved. Okay, God needs you, in other words. Okay, I heard some preacher preach one time that God doesn't need you. Okay, he'll just use somebody else. If you don't do it, he'll use somebody else. Okay, maybe there is some truth to that. But I truly believe that God needs you. Okay, he has something. Nobody's you. Okay, nobody has got the exact same stuff. Okay, God does not intend, nor is it his goal, I don't believe, to replace you with a better Christian. I sure wish they would get their act together, but since they won't, let's see. I'll pick this one, okay, like we do for helping with the offering, right? Oh, let's see. No, we're not picking better Christians. We're trying to find somebody who's giving us eye contact, right? No, just kidding. Okay, but God doesn't intend to replace you with somebody else. That was not an intention when he made you. Okay, he had a specific thing that you were called to do. Okay, I heard a story, I think I might have wrote it actually for an article, but it had to do with, you know, what things are made for. There's certain things that it is specific to do. Like a staple, right? What do you do with a staple? Stapler. Staple stuff, right? That's what it's for. It can be used in different ways. Maybe you're going to clamp some paper together. Okay, maybe you're going to use it, you know, yeah, you open it up and you use it to put up, you know, posters on a board and you pop the end of it and you're, you know, using it like a nail gun kind of thing. And you're, you know, it can be used for different things, but its purpose, it was built by a manufacturer. The original stapler was built to be a stapler, right? And God made you in some particular fashion, formed you together in your mama's womb before you were even born. He knew who you were and what you were going to come out and some of the things you were going to accomplish in this life. God made you with a purpose to do those things. You know, I don't believe God is in the business of replacing damaged people. I believe God is in the business of fixing damaged people. Okay, if we've all come in with some flaw, we've still got some. Okay, but we all come in and we got these things. God wants to, you know, tweak that a little bit, fix some things, okay, to heal and repair and empower you so that you can do what he called you to do. Okay, because he didn't call somebody else to do it. He's calling you. He made you to do certain things. You know, God doesn't want to get rid of you. Okay, he wants to maybe change you in certain ways. He wants to heal you. He wants to transform you. Okay, that's a big thing, that transformation. He created you for a specific purpose, and he wants you to live out your faith in a way that glorifies him. That's your calling. I mean, if nothing else, it's like, God, what do you want me to do today? And do that. Okay, that's a very simple way to fulfill what God is calling you to do. You know, I heard a story one time. It was about a man that was parked along the side of the road. His car had broke down, left him stranded there. He had the hood up. He's climbing under the hood, trying to figure out what was going on with it, see if he could fix it himself, get back on the road. And all of a sudden, a limousine pulled up behind his car. Okay, and a man gets out of the limousine, and he starts walking up to the car. And this guy's dressed like $1 million, three-piece suit, shiny shoes, slick back hair, the whole nine yards. He looked good. And he starts walking up and he says to the man, he says, "Do you need help?" And the driver kind of gave him a funny look, thinking, you know, this guy doesn't look like he knows much. But the guy said, "Of course, yes, I need some help." So the man from the limousine tinkers around with the engine of that car for a little bit. And to the man's surprise, he gets in the car and it fires right up. Okay, the guy gets out of the car and he was beyond grateful at this point. He just couldn't believe what had just happened. So he asked the guy, he says, "How much do I owe you? I mean, that helped, you're getting me out of a big fix. How much do I owe you?" And the man responded to him. He said, "Nothing. My name is Henry Ford. I created this thing, and it hurts me to see it not doing what I created it to do. I hate seeing them broke down on the side of the road. So I stopped to help get it back where it needed to be." Okay, God doesn't just cruise by when he sees you hurt. Okay, God doesn't just leave you when he sees you broken. Okay, that would defy the whole Good Samaritan story, right? God doesn't do that. He's going to stop and help. Make sure they get what they need. He's going to come to your rescue. I believe it bothers God to actually see you not living the life that he created you to live. Okay, how many have ever had a project at work? Okay, or maybe you know somebody that they're this type of person, and they have a big project and they're the leader of it, and they get it going and it all comes together, and then they start, you know, getting the feedback that you do, and so somebody says, "This ain't working, man. This is broken. We can't do this. This doesn't work and this doesn't work." And that project leader right away, what do you think? What goes on in your head? You're like, I got to fix this. How can I? Okay, we got a problem here. They're right. This is not working. Something's not functioning. I want to fix whatever it is because it's their project. They want it to go well. They want it to turn out good. They want it to, you know, fulfill the goal or whatever it was that it was supposed to do. Okay, and I think that's God's call on us. He created you to do some stuff. And if we're not doing it, he's like, "Oh man, what can I do to fix this? How can I help this person? How can I, you know, put somebody in their path, or how can I encourage them?" You know, God gets great joy when he sees you overcoming something that has been challenging you. Okay, or when he sees you moving forward, when something was kind of a setback and you just get up and you keep moving forward. God sees that and it brings joy to him. He sees it when your faith is growing. Okay, when you're not getting bitter, but you're getting better, right? You're learning from these things. And it was a horrible experience, but you're going to make the most of it. Right? You only get one life. Make the most of it. You know, I believe most of you are capable of a whole lot more than you think you are. Okay? You're capable of doing more, being more than you think you are. And for a bunch of different reasons, you know, maybe you don't have the inner confidence that you should. You know, maybe you don't see yourself as being this prized creation of God. Maybe, you know, you need to remind yourself of who it is and how much God has sown into your life. That if you expect less from yourself than is healthy, okay, then you're underestimating your own skills and your talents and your abilities. Okay, you're underestimating your potential. You know, it's that setting of the bar thing. You know, I'm not positive where that comes from, but I think it's, in my mind, it comes from like the high jumping thing where you set the bar too low. Okay, and if I practice jumping over this bar, anybody ever try high jump stuff? I tried it in high school. I was horrible at it. I mean, I had to set the bar like here to get over it, right? And even that was a nosedive onto the soft pit on the other side. Okay, but if you set the bar down here and you practice and practice and practice getting over this low thing all the time, then you go to the competition and what happens? You're out after the first round, man. They set the bar up here to begin with and you can't even get that. It's called setting the bar too low. Right? And if you're setting the bar too low, I'll just be honest, I don't want to see that. I want to see you set the bar a little bit higher. As a pastor, I want to do everything that I possibly can to help you get to the higher level, okay, to help you get yourself to where you aspire to do more, okay, where you're fulfilling every bit of what God intended for you to do. Okay, that's what I want to see. That's what I in pray for people is, you know, God, I see this. I see it in their life. You know, I want to encourage you this morning, if nothing else, consider it a little bit of motivation to set your sights higher. Okay, start setting a little bit loftier goals, maybe something that's going to challenge you a little bit more. Okay, prepare for yourself some bigger challenges. Kind of set up some opportunities more than what you currently expect. Say, you know what? Maybe I am shooting too low here. You know, when I look out here, I don't see a bunch of broken and messed up people. I see people with tremendous potential. I am an optimist in that way. Call me whatever you want. But I like to look at people and see their potential. I like to see where I believe God is taking them or what he can do in their life. To see the, you know, as the Amplified Bible talks about it, 1 Corinthians 13, when it's talking about love, it says love sees people at their best. I mean, it expects the best. It sees the better in people. Okay, it sees more than just what is currently in front of them. You know, when I look out here, I see able ministers of the gospel. That's what I see. I see people that are deacons and elders in the church. Okay, I see children's church leaders and teachers. I see youth workers. I see missionaries. I see small group leaders. I see musicians and singers and parking lot attendants. And, you know, if you look in the church sense, I see all these things that all these people have all this potential to be able to fulfill some things that would just bring glory to God as we reach more people. I see people that have the talent and the ability to spread the love of Jesus to people that are involved in areas of your life that you're already interested in. Things that you're already talented at, you're already passionate about. I see areas where you could be reaching people in our community with those things. But you have to stop counting yourself out. You know, stop thinking, well, that's for them. You know, they'll be able to do it. They've got that handled. They don't need me. Okay, and start counting yourself in. Stop thinking that you don't have much to offer. You know, there's things that go on in life. Sometimes circumstances happen that make us think we don't have much to offer anymore. We have to stop allowing the naysaying to resonate in your ears. Okay, that word resonate, I read that this morning and I was thinking, okay, I was doing some research one time on cars and the exhaust, right? And if you know a little bit about cars anymore, especially the modern ones, the old ones didn't so much, but they would have a, you know, it comes out, most of them have to have catalytic converters, right? And it goes through that and then it gets to a muffler, okay, that kind of sound deadener, and then it keeps going back, and in the back of the car, usually right before it comes out in the rear, are these things they call resonators. Okay, well, a resonator changes the tone of that exhaust. Okay, and it makes it so that, because what happens is the pressure, the speed, the heat, all those things combined together make a tone. Okay, and if you don't have a resonator and you drive a certain speed, certain frequency, maybe it's 75 miles an hour or whatever it is, and you'd be driving along and it would hum, like they call it drone, right? Car guys in the exhaust world, they say, you're gonna get drone if you don't have resonators. Drone means that you're driving along and it just, and it's just, you know, not bad for a short drive around town, but if you go on a trip to Cheyenne or something, drone will drone you crazy, right? It will, it just makes your brain just resonate with that. Okay, so if you've got things in your head that are self-doubt, that are, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, I'm unworthy, I tried and failed, it didn't work, I know, you know, you've got all that droning in your head saying, you can't do this. Okay, change the frequency a little bit with a resonator, right? Get something that will change that so that you can begin to see what it is that God is wanting you to do and not be believing all those lies that are going on in there. You know, a famous artist named Michelangelo once said, the greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it's too low and we reach it. Okay, and then we consider this to be success when God had bigger plans. God wanted us to reach higher, set a higher goal. And you've got to set your sights a little higher for what God can do with what you've already been given. Okay, remember, I've been going over this every time we do this on the OMGs about Moses and the stick, you know, in his hand. God said, what is that that's in your hand? Okay, so look at what it is that's already in your life that God can use for his glory, because that's what he's going to do. I believe that you have something in your hands already that can be used for God's glory. You have something to give in the kingdom of God that will glorify God's name. You have skills and abilities that God gave you that are unique to you. So don't bury your talent, okay, in the ground. Let's read a passage of scripture. This is Jesus talking, and he's going to give a great example of how not to bury your talent. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14, it says this. Telling you about the kingdom, right? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom I live in. Okay, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. In verse 16, then when he had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and he made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord. And then verse 24, he says, then he which had received the one talent came. And he said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he hath. You know, one person was given 5 talents, and another was given 2 talents, and they each doubled what their master had given them. Okay, but the one that had been given 1 talent didn't think he had enough to do anything with. Okay, he thought that what he had was too insignificant. But even though it wasn't much, it was still enough for him to do something with, right? How much is one doubled? Doubled, right? One doubled is still doubled, okay? And that's all those other guys did, okay? They just saw it a little bit differently. They said, well, I only got 5, but guess what? I can make 5 more, okay? The one with 1 could have doubled what he had as well. Unfortunately, this guy let fear and insecurity keep him from doing anything with it, okay? His fear and insecurity caused him to make poor decisions regarding the money. Okay, it was something that he had been given, but he let fear rise up and it kept him from doing something with it. He buried what his master had given him in the ground. You know, you might not feel like you have a lot to offer God right now. You know, it depends on where you're at in your walk and what you've had going on, but you have enough to get started with. You have enough to get started with. God doesn't want you to just bury what he has given you. You can double what has already been placed into your hands. God is allowing you or wanting you to do that. You can double it by simply doing something with it. It just takes that initial step of faith to step out and say, you know what, God? I don't know exactly where we're going. I don't know how it's all going to happen, but I believe we're going together. It's going to be all right. It's that first step of faith that says, we can do this because God is with me. Okay, maybe you reach out. We've been talking about the ministry groups and ministry in our community. Maybe you reach out to me and say, you know what, Pastor? I don't know much about anything, but I know about this. Is there anything we can do with that? I'll find a way. We'll be able to use that. God can use that for his glory. You know, I didn't work with this guy. I read his book. His name is Steve Muncy. Okay, it was a book that I read many years ago. I was probably 3 years old in the Lord, a long time ago. And I read this book. It was called The Missing Ingredient. Okay, and then it was under that, it was titled Boldness. Okay, and so the book was about boldness in the body of Christ, being a strong believer. Okay, it was probably, and to this day, I consider it to be one of the most influential books I've ever read. Okay, it got me to realize that you don't have to have everything figured out in order to step out in faith. Okay, you step out in faith and then God fills in the blanks, right? It doesn't have to all be a full write-up on it. You don't always have everything, every detail in front of you that's going to look like this. And here's how. Sometimes you just have the beginning sentence and then it's a big long paragraph that's going to be written, right? Or it's got some blanks. Maybe you got little pieces of it, but there's these big blanks. You don't know where this is going to come from or where that's going to come from. Let God fill in those blanks. From reading that book, I learned how true some of the cliches are that you probably heard, like nothing ventured, nothing gained. Okay, if we don't step out, we don't see the miraculous of God. Okay, we'll see it from a distance maybe, but not experience it personally. Or what's that one? Andrew Womack says a lot. He says, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit the target every time. right? You got to set your sights a little bit higher. Quit shooting for nothing. Start shooting for something that is higher than what you might be able to attain and what you will obtain if you don't shoot for it at all. You know, the King James Version of the Bible uses an unusual word. It's only in the King James Version one time. And it's an unusual word that is used to describe boldness. Okay? It's called importunity. Importunity. It's one of my favorite words in the King James language. Okay? Importunity. I want to read this passage to you and see how it's used. It's in Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5. We'll kind of start closing this out. Luke 11, 5. Jesus, giving another example, he says unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. In verse 8, he says, but I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Okay, importunity, in other words, implies asking, seeking, and knocking. It means taking a direction in the step, a step in the direction that you want things to go. Okay, if you don't want the door open, you won't knock on it, right? But if you want the door open, you got to go knock on it. Okay, if you want something, you ask for it. Okay, if you're going to find something, you'll have to start seeking. Okay, importunity is what Jesus said made the man get up and give his friend as many loaves as he needed. Okay, it's a clear form of boldness. It's being forward, but not in an aggressive way, but in a determined way. In a way that demonstrates that you're confident you are not going to go away without it. Okay, you're not going away empty-handed. We had a great example of this a few weeks ago, and I didn't clear it with Leona. I hope I don't embarrass her too much, but it was just a perfect example. I thought of it the entire time that it was happening, that this is importunity. And it was a few weeks ago, Leona's nebulizer machine, if anybody knows what that is, kind of for breathing treatments. Okay, she does these breathing treatment things all the time, a couple times a day. Well, it quit working. Just stopped. I mean, you could plug it in, you turn it on, and it just wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't hum, it wouldn't buzz, it wouldn't blow, it wouldn't do anything. Okay, it was just done. So we called the oxygen provider where we had gotten it from and tell them, and they said, well, we've got to have something from the doctor that says we can do this. And so we called the doctor's office repeatedly. Okay, we called back to the oxygen place repeatedly and kept saying, we've got to get this fixed. This isn't something that can just go on. Okay, well, they kept passing the buck back and forth. Okay, saying, well, they needed the other one to do this first. So we'd call the other one and say, they need you to do this. And they said, well, we already did that, but they need this. And it just kept going back and forth and back and forth. Somebody kind of pointing the blame at somebody else. They needed the other one to write this or fill out a form or do something. This goes on all week long, and it finally gets to be Friday morning, okay? And it was a 3-day weekend, and we knew the place was closed over the weekend anyway, so we thought, okay, 3 days is going to be too long. So Margie calls a lady and says, we are coming into your office. We're going to bring this machine in, and we need a new one. The lady said, well, said, we're leaving early today. Because of the 3-day weekend, we're closing at 10 o'clock. So Margie and I look at the clock, and we don't barely have enough time to get there. But we go out, we jump in the vehicle, we head to town, we pull in at 9:58. Okay, get the door open. I was going to break it off the hinges if it was locked already. You know, they said 10. So we get there at 9:58, and we take that in, and Margie takes this machine and plops it up on the counter and says, we're here. We've been calling all week long. Okay, and now we're out of time. My mom needs this machine fixed or replaced before we're going to leave here today, or she is going to end up in the hospital over this long three-day weekend. So they kind of stumbled over the words a little bit. They tried to, again, to explain how they couldn't just replace it without this or that, and we just stood there, okay? Not leaving, because we were not leaving empty-handed. And that is kind of the thing with what I'm talking about this morning, about being bold and stepping out. You have to be committed to what you're doing. Okay, don't give up too easy. Okay, don't give up just because, you know, somebody doesn't jump up and down to get excited about the ministry opportunity you presented. Or, you know, maybe it's just another opportunity. Don't quit just because you receive a little bit of resistance. Okay, or something doesn't go exactly like you thought it was gonna. Okay, you hang in there and you keep standing there. The two ladies in that oxygen office realized we weren't going to leave, so they get on the phone, right? And they start making these phone calls, okay? They even try taking the machine and say, well, let's just try it. And they take it and have to plug it in, flip the switch back and forth, nothing's happening. And they finally look at us and we said, looks like we need a new machine. You know, they've seen it for themselves. This isn't just us. Eventually, they went into the back room and they came out with a brand new machine and a foreman said, here, sign this and you can take the machine home with you. We went home and gave Leon the good news. The entire time that that situation was going on, I kept hearing that word over and over again, importunity, importunity. And importunity is what brought that machine home that day. We didn't go in saying, well, maybe kind of, sort of, could you possibly help us? It wasn't like that. It's like, we're here. And we're not leaving until we get this fixed or replaced. You know, we thought maybe they'd know how to take it apart or fix it or do something. You know, I am convinced that importunity or boldness is not just something that only certain Christians are supposed to walk in. Okay, importunity is something that we can all utilize in our life. Okay, it's an element of our faith that our hope, Our confident expectation for good, our hope, is not falling on deaf ears. Okay, God sees that. It doesn't go unnoticed by our Heavenly Father. Faith is about believing that you have received something that you haven't seen yet with your physical eyes simply because you already believe it is in your possession. You already believe that you have received, Jesus said. Okay, not receiving it at that point is not an option. Okay, so you will be persistent and confident until you see it come to pass. Okay, I know just side stories keep coming up this morning, but when Elijah and I went on our trip, we went to that conference in Phoenix. There were sick bugs all around us in the church and every place we go, and people were sick and whatever. And I know that, you know, we've been shaking hands with people and whatever. We're leaving real early Monday morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, oh. So Monday morning, what happens? You wake up with a scratchy throat and you start thinking, oh man. And I'm like, there is no possible way I am going to be sick on this trip. And I simply rebuked it. I said, no, I will not allow it. I will not accept it. I do not take that as my answer. You find somebody else to get sick because it's not going to be me or my son. And we went through that entire time. Elijah was already overcome and he got better, and I never did get sick from that, ever. Okay? I think you have to have that kind of an approach with certain things in life. Don't take no for an answer, or don't take the devil's answer for an answer. Okay, don't give up easily on your hopes and dreams. Be persistent, be confident until you see it come to pass. Okay, fight the good fight of faith. God has placed something in your heart and he wants you to stand fast. You know, stand fast. Take a good look at what God has already put in your hands to use for his glory. Okay, don't think about it. Don't, well, tuck it away somewhere. Go bury it in the ground. Okay, take what God has given you and plant those seeds of faith and see what happens. You know, we've been talking about opportunities for ministry groups or opportunity for ministry, both within the church and in our community. You know, I'll just tell you, and this is not being prideful, I'm just telling you, this is what I hear in my spirit. If you're struggling to know what it is that God is calling you specifically to do, come and talk to me. Because if I know you even a little bit, God has already spoken, that person would be great at this, or this is what they're called to. And maybe it'd be just a general direction, but for the most part, I could probably be very specific and say, no, here's what God is calling you to do. Okay, to be able to get involved, ways to work in the kingdom of God. You know, God wants you to know what it is. He wants you to be able to find that. Okay, and if you don't know, keep knocking, keep seeking. You're going to find those opportunities. You're going to find what it is if you're seeking and knocking. Don't settle for not. Don't settle for not. So, Father God, we're praising you this morning. We give you some praise and glory. Father, I thank you that your hand is upon each and every person in this room or people tuning in online. Lord, that you want to do a work in their life. You want to help transform them into the very person that you have called them to be. And Father, as they yield themselves to you and to say, God, here I am. I'm a willing vessel. I'm willing. I'm able in certain areas, Lord, and make me able in others. But I will make myself available to you to do what you want to do. God, we're praising you. We thank you that we are beautifully and wonderfully made. We are created in your image, that God, you had a plan when you put us on this earth, and I pray that we find it. We get into it. We continue to press forward in it. And Father, I pray that you'll help us with being importune or being bold, being confident, stepping in to life, whatever the circumstance or situation is, that we walk into it and say, God, I'm in it with you. It's going to be good. It's going to turn out good, whatever it is. Your word, God, tells us that you will work all things together for our good to those that love God and are called according to your purpose. And that's us. So, Father, we press into you. We're trusting you this morning. Take us deeper in our walk with you. Help us look for the opportunities and to grab on to what you've called us to be and to do in this life. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Amen. So be it.